from the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
So I bought this like really expensive $120 tree. Well, one of the things you don't do in the end of July is plant a tree because it's so hot, you know? But I didn't know that. I'm from Palolo, right? Yeah, you just... So I dig this hole and I just put this tree out there. You just put the tree down enough, the bug will grow. I come back this last summer and this thing is just like withered sticks sticking out of the ground. All it's good for now is very expensive firewood. If you don't know what season you're in, you can make huge mistakes.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. One thing about Christianity is that we are all at different stages in our walk with Christ. There are brand new baby Christians, and there are seasoned old warriors who've been walking with the Lord many, many years. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us the importance of us understanding the season we are in. Here he is with a message entitled, Three Essentials of Right-Sizing Life.
Would you please take out your notes with me as we talk about three essentials to right-sizing life. I want to talk to you about the process of the way that your mind perceives life and how important that is to your faith. And then I'm going to give you three applications to that, things that I have kind of worked into my life that's helped so much, and I wanted to share those with you. Perspective. You can have two people raised in the same community, go to the same church, have attended the same schools. One will become successful and one will not. Two couples. Both have the same books that they read, same community, eat the same foods, go to the same church. One flourishes and the other diminishes. You can have two people, same setback, same accident, same financial setbacks. One thrives and becomes better and prosperous. The other becomes bitter, diminished, and angry. You think, well, is it the circumstance? Mm-mm. Perspective. The way you choose to define what you're going through is absolutely critical, and it actually defines your faith. That is what faith is, for indeed we think that faith is some ethereal theological word when really it's very, very simple. It's the way you choose to define life, and you need to process that until you get God's definition and yours matching with His. And that takes a process sometimes, but that whole process is called faith. I'll explain that to you. You can have a same group of people hear the same thing. One thinks it's great, another thinks it's terrible. Same, it's the way you perceive, as was this story of this ventriloquist, you know, with a little puppet, and he's here in Hawaii, and he's doing his regular list of Portuguese jokes, you know, with his ventriloquism, and this Portuguese lady is just livid. She stands up in the middle of the group, and she says, "That's it! I'm tired of this indiscriminate, all this pushing against us Portuguese just because of our ethnicity. I hate all of this prejudice that you're doing. You are the kind of people that keep us from reaching our fullest potential." Just then the ventriloquist says, "Excuse me, ma'am, I really didn't mean to offend you." She says, "Shut up, I'm talking to that bugger on your knee." Perspective. Two shoe salesmen sent to Africa. They land in a village. No one's wearing shoes. The first one runs to the telephone. "Cancel all my shoes. Nobody wears them here." The second runs to a similar phone. "Triple my order. Man, do they need shoes here." Perspective. It was in Bible college where Anna and I went to school with a girl named Arlene Larson. You can tell that her face was a bit disfigured. Couldn't tell why, but there's just something just out of place when finally in the cafeteria, I sat next to her and she's about 35 or so. And I said, "Arlene, what happened?" She said, "Well, I married a man that when he drank, he became extremely volatile and he became very angry and destructive. And one night he was very drunk, came home, took a knife out of our kitchen drawer and stabbed me multiple times. And after months and months of surgery after surgery," of course, she said, "he's in prison now and we've now divorced and he's spending most of his life in prison. And it was only because of the screams that our neighbors heard, I was left in a pool of blood to die. but they got me just in time. And after many, many, many surgeries, I am here. And I thought, man, don't you hate that guy? And with a sparkle in her eye, she said, Wayne, he took an hour of my life. I choose to give him not a second more. The rest of my life belongs to Jesus. And today, she's a missionary in South America. Isn't that great? Perspective. It could have happened to somebody else, and they would have become bitter, cynical, critical, opinionated. Perspective, the way you see life. A friend of mine was a wonderful pastor of a very prominent church, but things were going south and things weren't working out really well, and there were some maneuvering afoot. And he said to his wife, I can resolve it in a way that pleases the Lord. And we're going to have a board meeting today, and I'm going to see if we can resolve it in a way that's right. And she said, I'll be praying for you. So off he went to the board meeting. An hour later, he calls her from his cell phone. He said, honey, I'm coming home. She said, why? I thought you were at a board meeting. He said, I was, but I was just fired. We've lost everything. Long pause. And then this wonderful woman said, honey, then come on home and let's show the world how people of God live through times like this. And I thought, what a woman. Perspective. The way you perceive things is absolutely critical to your future. See, Israel had a terrible time perceiving things correctly. They would see things at a slant and then conclude that must be it. You see it again and again. In fact, when Moses was asked by God to send 12 spies into the promised land, they perceived the land, they looked at it, 10 came back with a terrible perception. Can't be done, impossible. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, same land, but we can do it. No, God is bigger than these giants. Oh, no. And you see, when the 10 came back with that bad perception, they not only saw the situation that way, they saw themselves as inadequate. And boy, everything goes bad at that point. In fact, let's read the scripture and let's read their response to what they were perceiving in Numbers 13 at the top of our notes. Go. We even saw giants there, and we felt like grasshoppers next to them. And the result? That's what we look like to them. Yeah. You see, when you see yourself as, I can't do it, then everyone else is going to say, yep, you can't. It just actually brings your life down into an ever-tightening spiral. Sometimes we supersize problems far bigger than they should be. Or we downsize ourselves. So the problem, though it's the same, we are so much smaller. It's time that we ask God to open our eyes and right size everything. Romans says this, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but think as to use or have sound judgment or right size things. See it correctly. And sometimes you got to work at it. For God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. Here's what he's saying. Your faith is going to be defined as to your ability to right size life and situations. See it correctly, the way God wants you to see it. Because you can see it poorly, then you're a victim. You can just simply deny it and it hits you blindside. You can see it wrongly and become extremely angry and bail out on people, marginalize people. Or you can work and work and work until you see it as the way God sees it. Now listen very carefully. A bright future and a dark future are both going to be determined by how you are perceiving what you're facing right now. Your future will be determined by how you are perceiving what you're facing right now. You see, if someone cuts you off on the freeway, you can perceive it poorly. Watch this. He wants to cut somebody off. I won't cut him off. And you get going. And you see it in a wrong way. And now, I tell you what, your future is going to be determined by how you're perceiving what you're facing right now. Or you can stop and say, no, it's all right. And maybe he's in a rush. Maybe he's going to go to the hospital to see his wife. Maybe he just got a call, an emergency, something. And you just back off and say, now, is that easy? No, because you'll say, maybe he's got a good, valid reason. Or maybe he is an idiot. No, maybe he is. And I wrestle with these to get right-sized situations. How many of you wrestle like me when it comes to situations like that? Yeah, isn't that right? How many of you? Come on, raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you really, really argue a lot with yourself when those things happen? Yeah. There's medication for that. No, I'm just kidding. But remember that your future is determined by how you are perceiving what you're facing today. And you got to work at it and work at it. Remember, you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. Your eyes are just simply optical lenses that put a picture onto your mind, and then now you have to define it. Negative, positive. It's okay, I'll make it. I won't, it's impossible. No, we can resolve it. No, it's irreconcilable. Right here, you see with your mind. And that's why the Bible says that we've got to develop the mind of Christ. It will affect the way you see everything, and your future is going to be determined by how you perceive what you're facing today. And that's the mind of Christ. And the Bible says that is where your faith will be found. That's the measure of your faith. Right-sizing life. It's not easy. You got to work at it and work at it and work at it until you get it. Now, this is the best way to see it. And then your faith opens up. There's a poem that I found quite a while ago, and it talks about that, and I don't even know who wrote it, but it goes like this. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you won't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it's certain that you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world, we find success begins with a person's mind. You got to think high to rise. You've got to see it before you can even win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, because sooner or later it'll go to the one who thinks, I can. Isn't that great? You got to see it. Now, I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about conditioning your mind to be like the mind of Christ, so that when a situation appears, you don't take it at face value, but you right-size it and work it and work it until, okay, all right. The reason that's important is because that measures the size of your faith. If you take it at face value and say, well, that's just how they are, if that's the way they're going to be, this is what I'm going to do. And what it says is your faith is real small. But if you work at it and work at it, this is what happens. You get a greater faith and you say, it's all right. Now, we'll be able to resolve it. It's all right. Now, then all of the help and assistance of heaven that's available to you will be able to be deposited to you, given to you, transferred to you, because you have a receptivity. You have right-sized it in such a way that you perceive it like, no, God is able. No, watch what God can do. No, I'm okay. And now you have an open heart receptive to the innovation, the creativity of heaven, so that you can resolve it. If you're a businessman and someone bilks you out of a profit, you can say, okay, that's what he's going to do to me. I'm going to do that to him. But you're not done sizing up the situation yet in the way that God would have you size it up. Oh, yeah, okay, all right. I know that that wasn't the best move, and that was a bilking of some profit. I understand, but I am not going to make the same decision and think now it's now been righted because I've manipulated him even as he has me. No, I'm just going to stay true to my God. And even though someone takes advantage, it's okay. I'm going to trust and still keep my ethics high. And I work it and work it and work and say, okay, no, it's all right. We'll just keep moving forward. We'll move forward, keep our momentum. And then you right-size life. And boy, that just delights God, because now you've got a heart of faith and ethics. And the Lord says, you know, I have available to you innovation, creativity, entrepreneurship. I've got for you business wisdom and acumen. And now I'm able to transfer that to you because you have a faith that's wide open. And then I have seen this time and time again, where when someone right-sizes situations the way that God sees it, they work it and work it and work it until they see it the same way. I have watched God return profits that have been taken from them. God returns it to them 10, 20, 100-fold. Again and again and again. Why? Because as is thy faith, so shall it be done to you. That's why for God, the way we perceive things is extremely important to heaven. Because all that heaven has in store, he wants to transfer it to you to be able to resolve a problem. But if you say, I can't, then you've shut your faith down. And even though God has all the resources available, we cannot receive it because we've shut it down already. We've made a conclusion. And God says, no, take the time to work it in your mind, work it in your heart until you size it up right. Measure it heaven's way. There's a play written by Lorraine Hansberry called Raisin in the Sun. It's about a black family in South Side of Chicago who their dreams were dashed. And their dreams dried up like a raisin in the sun. What happened? The father died and the mother was waiting for a $10,000 insurance check that would fulfill her dreams and get them out of the South Side of Chicago into a better neighborhood. For her daughter, Bernitha, it was a chance to go to medical school. But for her son, Walter, he just saw business, money, dollar signs. And he finally persuaded his mother to give him the $10,000 because there was a promise made to him by a friend that if he would invest it in a certain investment, it would triple in 3 months. Well, as all of those investments do, the quick get rich quick schemes, that one failed miserably, and within a month, all the money was gone. This young man, Walter, came home with his tail between his legs, just broken because of what he had done, how he had dashed the family's dreams. And his sister, Bernitha, lays into him with a barrage, a tirade of despicable names. And how could he? What a horrible person he was having dashed the family's dreams. And in the middle of her tirade, she took a breath and the mother jumped in and said, Child, haven't I taught you how to love him? And she whipped around and said in anger towards her mother, love him? There's nothing left to love. And the mother said in reply, there's always something left to love. And if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing. Have you cried for him today? No, I don't mean for yourself or for the money that we've lost, but have you cried for him and what he's gone through, the lows that he must have gone through, the valleys and the hurts and the pains for what has happened in his life because of all of this? And now having to face his family, have you cried for him or just yourself? Child, she said, when do you think it's time to love somebody the most? When they're at the top of a mountain, they've made life easy for everybody? Or when they're at their lowest, and they can't even get themselves up because the world's done whipped them so. Have you ever gone through the valleys he's gone through? Have you ever explored what he's gone through before you've made your comments? Child, she said, when you measure somebody, you measure them right. When you measure somebody, measure them right. And I've never forgotten that scene out of Raisin in the Sun. Because it reminds me that when I measure somebody, measure an event, measure what's going on in my family, my spouse, my children, take the time to measure it right. That's your perspective. Because remember, your future, which is your disposition, your character, all about your future will be determined by how you are perceiving what you're facing today. Perceive it, measure it right. Child, measure it right. Well, Israel had a hard time doing that, but we're going to learn some lessons as to how we can get our eyes calibrated a little bit so that we can measure things right, or right-size life, so that our faith opens up and all the help that heaven has for us will be made available to us because we've got a heart that's receptive to it, and we can now resolve whatever that situation is by the power of God. So, what are some ways to apply it? Here's three ways that have helped me to kind of put some parameters on the way I perceive life, and it's helped me so much, and I just want to share them with you if I could in right-sizing life. Here's the three. Number one, would you write down? Number one is this. Know what season you are in. Know what season you're in. Because you see, God takes you through seasons of life. That's how your life transpires, in seasons. And in every season, there is an assignment or a purpose or heaven's purpose for you to accomplish. In other words, God is going to say, here's a season of your life. Now, this is what I'm going to be doing in this season of your life. Follow me. See, for some people, a season right now might be, if you're a person in school, it might be scholastic or academic excellence. That's the season. That's your purpose right now. It's not to go party with friends on the beach or kick around at North Shore. You can do that, but your main purpose is academic excellence and learning, and you work with that and you stay with that. If you don't know what season you're in trouble. I have a friend that's right now in New Hampshire. He and his wife are going through a tour of seeing the changing of autumn leaves because it's so pretty. And I guess they have a whole tour of that up there. At the same time, as beautiful as it is for them, at the same time, there would be a radio police blog sometime in the morning in New York because a homeless man, not knowing that the temperature would plummet so far and get so cold, not being prepared for that, they'd find a homeless man frozen to death in the morning on the streets of New York, and the coroner would have to go collect the body. You see, the changing of seasons for one may be beautiful, but on the other hand, for someone else who's not prepared, it could be deathly. Seasons. Every single one of us have our lives that go through seasons. And if you don't know what season you're in, you'll make a bunch of mistakes. My daughter lives on a little farm up in Oregon, and two daughters actually, and I wanted to plant a tree the one before, and I wanted to have this is Dad's tree, so I bought this like really expensive $120 tree, and I thought I'm gonna plant this one so it's like my legacy, you know, Daddy's tree over here. And so it was in the end of July. Well, one of the things you don't do in the end of July is plant a tree because it's so hot, you know. But I didn't know that. I'm from Palolo, right? Yeah, he just and so I dig this hole and I just put this tree out there. You just put the tree down, enough, the bug will grow. So I thought, I put it down, I covered it over, enough. Well, the sun just beat down on this tree in the August months of drought and withered the tree. Now I'm over here and I'm thinking that tree is really growing, gonna be like 50 feet tall next year. And so then during the winter it froze it to death. So I come back this last summer and this thing is just like withered sticks sticking out of the ground, just deader than a doornail. All it's good for now is very expensive firewood. You see, one of the things, and I was talking to an arborist, they said, that's not the time to plant trees. It's in March or April, March or May, somewhere in there. So when the tree is still dormant, just ready to come alive again, though, then you plant it and it's still cool. And when it comes alive out of its dormancy, it really grows. And by the time summer comes, it's already set in place and it's vibrant. You don't plant it in July, dummy. See, if you don't know what season you're in, you can make huge mistakes. But the Bible says that God takes us through seasons. Question is, what season are you in? Let's read what Ecclesiastes says in 3:1. Would you read it out loud? Go. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. In other words, the season that you're in also has a purpose of heaven for you to cooperate with. Some of you might be a mom and you've got growing kids. Now, your season may be anywhere from 4 months to 14 years. It just sort of depends on the season's length. But for some of you, this is a season to invest in your children. Some of you men, it might be a season to invest in your employment or your marriage, or it'll move to your children, or it may move to relationships or organizing your life or the fractured health that you have, and not be just because of negligence. The Lord may say, I want you to focus on hygiene or health or fitness or exercise. Every season, there's a purpose under heaven. And God is saying, for you, brother, for you, sister, in this season of your life, this is what I, the Lord, is saying, or heaven, is focusing on. And I want you to follow me.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Three Essentials of Right-Sizing Life by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord, and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.